Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that, joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
As we now enter into the contemplation of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and meditate on the salvation of the world through his suffering, death, and burial, and his resurrection, let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take our nature and our suffered death on the cross.
In your mercy, enable us to share in the
dignity
and mystery of his resurrection,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the lessons.
Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, and I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who will be my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this morning is Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16. And would you respond reading the bold print? Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. I am the scorn of my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances.
When they see me in the street, they avoid me.
Like the dead, I am forgotten, out of mind. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around me. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord.
I have said, you are my God.
My times are in your hand.
Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
And let your face shine upon your servant.
Save me in your steadfast love.
The second reading is from Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Word of God, the Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
All right, I think I'm on. There we go. So if there's anyone else that would like to come join us for a children's message, you are welcome to come on down. I got to fix this. Sorry. It got bent. There we go. So I've got a personal question for everyone, even everyone sitting out there. I've got a very personal question. So don't feel like you have to answer. But just know that this might change our friendship. How many of you skip and read the end of a brand new book? How many of you go and look at the last page to see what happens and then you can start reading? Do you do that? You do that? How many out there? Katie, we're done. We're done.
Sometimes.
That's it. We're done. No, wait. You do it. I know you do. I can't do it. I can't do it. But here's the deal. I get it. I get it. And I've got this really cool... You guys have seen this in Sunday school. We've used this, right? For everybody out there, we have kind of this chart, and it's got all the days, and it's like a journey. We follow the path using our little footprint, and we travel on the path all the way from Ash Wednesday way down at the bottom, and we travel it all the way up to Easter at the top. And so far, we've been traveling and going along, and we were down here last week. We generally have to skip weeks because we don't meet in the middle. This week, though, we've gone this whole way, and now we're up here. We're up here to Palm Sunday. That's today. How cool is that? And, you know, when we're reading a book, like we will read the story of Jesus' life in this week coming, there's a lot of us that want to skip and go straight from Palm Sunday and go, yay, Easter! Because there's Easter, right? We know it's coming.
It's Easter today.
Not today, not yet. But look at this. All those numbers, I know. But now look at this. We've got some days here in the middle. They're really dark colored. They're black. It says Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. That's coming. That's still on our path to come. And you know what? If we only jump to the end of the book and we forget to read the stuff in the middle, we miss all of this. And it can be scary, and it can be sad, but we can't skip it, can we? Because if we skip the scary and the sad parts down here, this Easter bit, that happy part at the end, doesn't seem as happy. And here's the deal. Today, we were reading a story about how Jesus was coming into town and everybody was so happy and they were waving palms. They didn't know the end of the story at all. They didn't know that there was this dark bit in the middle.
A dark palm?
It is dark, right? But they didn't know that was coming. Jesus did. Jesus knew the end of the story. He knew this bit over here. He'd read the last page. It was scary, wasn't it? But that's the deal. Jesus knew that this scary and sad bit was in the middle. Hello, Camden. He knew that this was coming, but he needed everyone to experience it. He didn't tell them, okay, just wait a week. I'll handle that part. There's a good bit coming. He had to have everybody read the whole story. So what do you think? This week...
Jesus got dark.
That's right.
Scary.
It did get really scary for Jesus. And he had to die here on this day. But we know the end of the story, don't we? We read ahead. We know that there will be the happiness coming after the dark. It's right there. So here's the challenge for the week. I'm going to put this part away. Here's the challenge for the week for us and for everybody sitting out in the rest of the church. Our challenge this week, what is it, Katie?
Now,
the
parents will probably be happy to skip all this week because of school and work.
You just never know what they're going to tell you up here. You really don't. Katie says kids and parents would probably be really happy to just skip this week. Because of all the work in school that's in there. So we could just skip it. Here's the challenge. We can't skip it. The challenge is that we make sure to read all of the stuff in between and we don't just skip to the end of the book. Yeah? Can we do that all together? Read those stories together? Are you okay with that, to read the dark and scary stuff, but then wait for the happy stuff at the end? Okay, let's do that. You want to go back to Mom and Dad right now?
No.
Don't ask questions you don't want to ask.
I don't understand that part, but that's okay. Let's all head back.
No,
we're heading back. Let's go head back, guys. Caden and Camden, you're going to go walk back? Camden, okay.
Okay, that's just awful. Yep. Come get him. He's up there somewhere. Okay, that was gross. He, like, walked on me. Bah! Thank you. What a perfect day for you to be here. All right, so that's my son, by the way.
who knows that I will sit in a room with a live spider for hours waiting for someone else to show up to kill it.
You know, that's my first reaction was actually to stand up as soon as you jump back.
Yes, my hero. Okay, so, also that was my grandson, in case you didn't notice the energy similarities. So, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. I think Josie made a great point, and it's a point that I share with her. I often make the point during sermons in this time of year. You see, we know the rest of the story. We know that at the end of this coming week, at the end of all of Jesus' life, the end is not the grave. We know that. We've heard it over and over again. And so it's very difficult for us to set it aside. When we enter on Palm Sunday and we wave our palms and we sing our songs, it's hard for us to remember that just a few hours later, they are calling for his crucifixion. When Jesus refuses to be the kind of king that they want him to be, they turn on him and they call for him to die, to be out of their way, to stop imposing this God stuff on them. So Josie asked you a personal question. I'm going to too, but I'm not going to make you actually fess up in front of people. Because I want you to be honest. How many times in your life have you been the crowd? How many times in your life have you felt really awesome about Jesus, about God's activity in your life? How many times have you been on fire for your faith only to not too far down the road feel inconvenienced and irritated and ready to just say, I've had it with this God stuff. I'm done. Leave me alone. Everybody think about that for just a minute. I think that like everything else in our lives, everything that we enjoy, everything that we find rewarding, there are moments where those very same things are darn inconvenient. Too much work. Now, it's a very small example, but I usually feel that way about 20 minutes before I put a big meal on the table. I love to do it. I love to entertain. I love to have people in my house. I enjoy making all the fuss and spending 2 days, you know, desserts one day and the real meal the next day. And about 20 minutes before it all goes on the table, I want to go in the other room and hit my head on a wall and say, what are you doing this to yourself for? And then I kind of regroup and I get everything on the table and enjoy the event. But I have to get through that moment where I come to myself and I say, you know, 2 whole days invested in this and they're going to be done with it in 15 minutes and then there's just nothing left but a lot of dishes. Except that isn't true, is it? You invest that time and energy, you go through the fuss, and the reason for it has nothing to do with the food. Well, it has a little something to do with the food, because I'm a pretty good cook, so if I put it on the table, everybody usually enjoys it, unless it's something they simply don't like. The point for the meal, of course, is the relationships. It's the bonds. It's the memories. You have these kinds of meals not because of the food, although the food matters. You have these kinds of meals because of the relationships, the amazing deep sharing of time in the breaking of bread, in the sharing of family stories and traditions. And it's the same this week. It's exactly the same this week. We aren't doing this just to get to Easter. You see, Holy Week is really about our relationship with God. A relationship that is so deep. A relationship that is so profound, it is earth-shattering. It is life-changing. And those kinds of relationships can sometimes be very inconvenient. Perhaps another good example for those of us who have been married or who still are those occasional moments when you look across the breakfast table and you say to yourself, what in the name of heaven have I done? Dale's laughing over here. I'm sure that's never happened at his house. Luann's never felt that way before, ever once. I'll pick on them today instead of Bill. Profound relationships come at a cost. There is risk. The more you love, the more you're committed, the more likely it is that you could get hurt, deeply wounded, damaged in a way that you're not sure you could ever repair. Jesus, of course, loves us that much. Jesus, of course, cares for us so much that he did go to every possible length to be in relationship with us, to show us how much we are loved. And it has not only changed him, but it has completely changed us. I don't want to talk too much about the end of the story because, well, I want you to try really hard this week to put Easter out of your mind. You're not going to hear me say to you this week that we are an Easter people. Instead, we are going to journey through the darkness, through the trial, through the pain, through the scary, scary, difficult days between Palm Sunday and Jesus' entombment on Good Friday. I hope, I pray, that you will make time, in spite of the busyness of work and school, that you will make time to be here with us Monday, Thursday at 7, when we celebrate our Lord's institution of Holy Communion, and we celebrate with our young people who take communion for the first time, and we hear about Jesus giving us a new commandment, that you'll return on Good Friday at 1 o'clock for a lesson of light and darkness as we put out each candle, as we listen to Jesus speak to us from the cross, as we leave in darkness and silence to await whatever might come next. Yes, we know. But I ask you to try and focus not on the end of the story, but on the journey through it. So that when we gather again after Good Friday, you will feel the joy and celebration as close as possible as you can to that first Easter morning. Grace and peace, my friends, as we enter into this last stage of Jesus' 40-day journey with us through Lent. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able for the hymn of the day. Christ, the life of all the living.
Thank you.
I invite you to join me in confessing your faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before we join in prayer, I want to call your attention to four recent deaths that affect this congregation. Our sympathy to Steve Smith and his family at the loss of his sister Bev. Our sympathy to the family and friends of Arlene Lund. Our sympathy to Harry Evian at the loss of his brother Leland. And our sympathy to Ken Iverson at the death of his brother Bud. Lifting our voices and turning toward God, let us pray for the church, the earth, and all who are in need. Redeeming God, your church proclaims your gospel of truth and courage. Gather your children together to share in the promise of Christ. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Hosanna, Son of David. Lead your children to care for your good creation and all its inhabitants, lands and water, plants and all living things. Lord, in your mercy, soften the hearts of political leaders who ignore or deny suffering, struggle, and injustice, especially those who are leading in the Middle East. Lift up leaders who seek your will for the sake of their people. Keep safe all those who serve and protect and their families, especially Corbin. Lord, in your mercy, bring companionship to those who feel abandoned, comfort to those in pain, hope to those in despair, and healing to all in need. We especially pray for Gary, Kathy, Lexan, Maxine, Leroy, Kevin, Ray, Richard, Lillian, Lavone, Joe, Margot, Sam, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy, we remember those who were imprisoned or martyred for their faith, and give thanks for their bold confession and witness, both those who have gone before us and those who suffer for their faith even yet today. Bring comfort to all who grieve, especially the families of Bed Kurt, Arlene Lund, Leland Evian, and Bud Iverson. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast love through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we continue our worship with our offerings. please stand as you're able while our gifts are brought forth for the work of God and His church. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us, and these your gifts which we receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death give salvation to all who believe. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of heaven and earth, full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church now and forever. Amen, amen, amen. We say together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we commune by intinction. We will give you a wafer, and we ask that you would then carefully dip it either into the wine or the grape juice. The ushers will guide you forward.
Thank you.
please stand as you're able. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who has called us forth from the dust of the earth and claimed us as children of the light, strengthen you on your journey into life renewed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able for our sending song, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth.
Thank you.
be seated for the announcements. Normally, I try to give you a heads up about deaths related to the congregation before we start the worship service, but the worship service this morning was not conducive to that, so I just took a minute before the prayers to let you know. I find it very off-putting to be in the middle of a prayer and hear a name that I know. There are a few other announcements. First of all, there remain Easter Lily forms. Tomorrow is the deadline. If you're interested in sponsoring an Easter Lily, either in memory of someone or in honor of someone, or just because you want to sponsor a Lily, those forms are out in the narthex, the entry area, and off to the left. Obviously, this is Holy Week. You've heard that a couple times already today, but I'm going to just reiterate it one more time. We start, of course, with Palm Sunday. We have brunch immediately following this worship service down in the Fellowship Hall. You are all invited and encouraged to attend. The brunch is free, but we are collecting a free will offering if you're interested in contributing. Then on Thursday at 7, we will celebrate Jesus' commemoration of Holy Communion and his command to us to love one another and start thinking about his arrest and Good Friday. Then on Good Friday, we will gather at 1, and we will walk through the words from the cross in a service of light and darkness. We will leave in silence and gather then on Easter morning in the dark and in the silence, awaiting the good news of Jesus. This Tuesday, we have a blood drive. The Red Cross will be here from noon until 6. We still need volunteers. Obviously, we need people to volunteer to come in and donate blood. We need people to contribute treats and time to overseeing the recovery table, the place where you get to sit for a little while after you donate and have a little juice and have some treats to get you back up and moving. We also need some folks to be in charge of the table outside for registration. Those sign-up sheets are also back there. Today is the last day for the coin war. Next week. Easter Sunday is the last week for the coin war. If you don't know what that is, there are huge glass pickle jars out there, and whichever class raises the most money per child, see, we have to adjust for sheer numbers. All right. There's some kind of special treat involved for them. Also, our focus for ministry this month is signing up to help pick up and clean up and do a spring beautification of the grounds and the building. There are sign-up sheets out there. We just need your name for the time being to know that you're interested, and then as we get closer to the date, we'll start dividing up tasks and let you know what you need to bring along to do your assignment. All right. Our final announcement, well, two, right? Obviously, my family's here today. You probably didn't notice. My son James, my grandchildren Orion and Anakin, and my daughter-in-law Angie. So they'll be joining us for brunch as well. Our final announcement then is our table prayer. So I invite you to stand as you're able. And we are going to be strengthened for service. Be present at our table. Mark with the cross of Christ, go forth to love and serve the Lord. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please take a moment as we leave worship to greet one another in Christ's peace.